Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
It is our final hour on a Tuesday, and it's World Cup week, which means it's Football Focus, brought to you by the Portland Zoo, your home for Portland Hearts of Pine watch parties. The World Cup kicks off this week, and there's no better place to celebrate than the Zoo. Thursday features Mexico taking on South Africa, followed by South Korea against the Czech Republic. And the big one comes Friday when the United States opens World Cup play against Paraguay. The World Cup is here, and the Zoo is the place to be. Beer, music, soccer, 41 Fox Street. And we will get things going with World Cup 2026 because, well, we are just a little more than 48 hours away from the kickoff from the tournament. First match is Mexico against South Korea on Thursday at 3 in the afternoon, and the U.S. men's national team played its final tune-up game, its official send-off match at Soldier Field in Chicago against, well, one of the big soccer nations in the world, taking on Germany, who is a four-time World Cup champion, most recently in 2014. This is, as many people have said, maybe not the most talented of German teams, but it is still Germany. And they definitely showed that in the match against the United States. It was a 2-1 defeat for the U.S. in their final match. The defense certainly was leaky, but you did get a world-class strike from Anthony Robinson late in the first half of that match for the United States to equalize it.
Yeah, that was sick. That was an absolute stunner, man. A banger of a goal there. But yeah, I mean, the question still remains, I guess, for them, because it's how the goal went. I mean, that first one was just, I mean, you said it best to me yesterday on just how brutal it was to watch.
It was. I mean, watching just, and it was Miles Robinson who was playing in the center back position there. But Miles really the one guy for Germany you do not want to get free in the six-yard box, and that is Kai Havertz, right, who is a goal scorer. This is what he's done his entire career. He was one of the, I think he set the record for the Bundesliga for, like, youngest player to 20 goals in a season when he was at Bayer Leverkusen, won a Champions League title with Chelsea and scored the winning goal. And he scored again in this most recent Champions League final in a loss for Arsenal. But this is a guy who is a world-class striker. And Miles Robinson, he's been on the U.S. national team before. He was on the 2022 World Cup team. But he is a Major League Soccer player. And, you know, he's from Massachusetts as well. But, I mean, you cannot let a guy like Kai Havertz get free on a set piece like that. And to have it, I mean, to have that goal scored in the opening 2 minutes of the match, what a damper on things. I will say I am happy for the U.S. that they only lost the match by one, because I do think certainly in looking at the chances Germany was able to generate in the opening 30 minutes of the match, I think a more clinical Germany probably has three or four goals by the time Anthony Robinson's cracker even happens.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you. I almost feel like it was like we didn't maybe see the best Germany we could have. Either way, I'm with you. It's just a positive result for me. I mean, it's not too bad. I thought that the starting lineup was probably the closest thing to resembling what we're going to see for a starting 11, maybe outside of two changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a couple changes maybe, but McKinney, Adams, Balogun, Pulisic, Tillman, Dest. I mean, Ream, Miles. Yep. I mean, the only one you maybe wonder is Matt Fries there in the goaltender position a little bit. I think he's – and maybe now Jedi Anthony Robinson, because of the injury, he limps off. It was listed he was full participant yesterday at practice.
That's good news.
So we'll see. And I think he's important. But we also, as I know, like one thing with him that I wonder about, right, like when we look at their defensive struggles, they've conceded four goals in these two friendlies. Sorry, I'm thinking of Miles Robinson.
Yep.
But, I mean, you've had defensive difficulty, so we'll see just how healthy he is. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, is where I'm going with this, is if it's more of in a reserve role.
Mm-hmm.
And then with all these guys, not just him, Chris Richards,
yeah,
Tyler Adams, too,
right,
who, by the way, was described as load management, didn't practice yesterday, but they said that was just because of how much time he played with Bournemouth this regular season.
Which he played a ton with Bournemouth this year.
So it's nothing serious with Adams, but... with Jedi, he was full participant too.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It was noted in a fresh report here from Yahoo that, quote, the ideal scenario for Poch would be to substitute his best players if the USA beat Paraguay comfortably. So basically saying an ideal situation is we go up a couple goals on Friday and quite a few of those guys can get some break, because it doesn't sound like they're all 100% going into this match.
Yep.
And that's something that's worth noting. So, again, we'll just have to watch guys like Richards, Adams, right, Jedi 2, and kind of monitor how they all go. But, yeah, I'm with you. Positive result from that Germany game, man. Positive result, and Robinson is definitely going to be a big part of this. This midfield, I really like Adams. I think he's a big part of this too.
Yeah.
I do, though. My one concern maybe is Miles Robinson at the back a little bit. The back in general. I mean, Chris Richards is going to help. There's no denying that.
And the good news certainly for him is he was a full participant in practice yesterday. So that and the decision's going to be made officially on Thursday whether he will play on Friday. But if everything goes well, I get the feeling he's probably going to be in the starting 11 on Friday night.
Exactly. And again, that's going to be big. And that's where, again, because you look at how he played it. Obviously, Jedi was on the outside there. And when you look at that, I really like how Dest can kind of run free. Him, Robinson can kind of play off on those sides.
Yep.
And he had Freeman, Ream, and then Miles kind of playing in that three-man back. Because the way, when they go attacking, Dest and Robinson basically become their wingbacks.
Yep.
And they drop into it's such an interesting way, but it's unique. It's not, because I'm looking at it, it's funny, they listed it as a 4-2-3-1.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. I don't know, because they're having Dest basically as the right wing. And I'm like, Dest doesn't play right wing.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, when you watch him in that, he's a wing back. It's,
right.
They want him to play both.
Exactly. And that's where his strength has always been.
Facts.
And they mentioned it, too, on the broadcast, because, like, the one thing that makes me a little nervous about Sergiño. Number one, I like the fact Mauricio has kind of taken the leash off of him a little bit to be able to go express himself offensively, because I do think that is the best portion of his game.
Yep.
The thing that I think I worry about, especially against a big team, is the fact that sometimes he does not track back quick enough because he gets so far up the pitch that he can't get back in time.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's, you know, guys filling those gaps and being confused in filling said gaps, which means they don't get filled.
Yeah, and I also think, to your point on that, like you see, like the back three, when they're under pressure, Miles doesn't handle it well.
No, he doesn't.
Again, he's been involved three of the four goals he's been involved in, or his fault. I mean, God, we look at the Senegal was just that was a disaster. Whatever happened with him on that, I mean, he completely put. I mean, that was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing for Miles Robinson is he's trying to win a spot.
Yeah.
like he's basically responsible for three of the four goals.
Yeah,
you gave up.
No, he is, and I mean, he is three of the four that you gave up. It's he's involved or caused.
Yep.
So I don't know what we're gonna do with him as we go, but he's one to watch. And Richards coming back helps, but we'll see. I just think we got a little bit of a glimpse at the official starting lineup yesterday. I just think, you know, maybe it's I don't I don't know if it's going to be Matt Turner, man. Something tells me Potch likes Freeze.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he's certainly used Matt Freeze more Matt Turner.
There's something about it, and I know you and I are on the same page. We agree. I think both of us would go Matt Turner ahead of him. Maybe that's our New England bias, but
and I'm sure that's part of it.
Sure, but I also think I would go with him first because we talked about this. Having to go from Freeze to Turner, I don't really like. I'd rather have to go from Turner to Freeze.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know but either way, we'll see. I think Potch though does like Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no denying that he likes Matt. Matt Freeze, not Turner.
Right.
They're
both
Matts. As I said that, I'm like, LOL, both Matts. But for one thing that I noted in this game, because Brad and I talked on Thursday.
Yes.
And I asked him, how do you think he's going to handle Germany and kind of balancing squads? Do you think we'll see more of the World Cup lineup and who's going to be in net? And, we talked about how, Matt Turner and Chris Brady split.
Yep.
So he said, if he's really, we kind of talked about if he was looking at Matt Turner, we'd expect maybe him, you'd expect a split between those two, and he went all Freeze that name.
Yes, he did.
And I know when I talked to Brad, it's not like Brad said, they're going to split, but he said he almost expected to see a little bit of what you saw against Senegal, which is two guys getting kind of each half.
Right.
To see what, it was all Matt Freeze against Germany, and I think that's another indication he's leaning Matt Freeze over a Matt Turner, even though I'm a Turner guy.
Yeah, me too.
But I think Potch, it looks like, is going to lean the other way. We'll see if it pays off for him, but I don't think it's a hot take right now to say Matt Turner might not be starting on Friday night.
Yeah, and with the way, certainly kind of looking at it that way, I almost now kind of do expect Freeze to be the one who gets the call.
Well, and I almost, to be fair, I forgot that he had played the entire Germany game because I tuned out after halftime.
Well, that's right.
And I went back and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He did play the entire German match. That's a big one for him. Yeah. So we'll see. I think that's however Potch wants to run this, he's going to run it. And we both know, we've talked about, this team has to score goals.
Yeah.
If they're going to want to survive this. And I feel exactly that way after watching their buildup. Mm-hmm. I watched the entire Senegal game, and I feel like that was the one that really told me, that's who they are. And I know they didn't play a lot of starters, and I know they had most of the guys out there yesterday or against Germany on Saturday, and it looked a little bit, didn't look as bad as we said. It was kind of a win in that first half. Like I said, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think Paraguay is going to be a fun challenge.
They are.
They're a team that recently went to a quarterfinal, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've had some good runs. Obviously, a South American club. They like to defend. They like to hit on the counter. The U.S. will have a lot of the ball in this match. Paraguay is also a team that fouls a ton.
Yes.
They play a rough and tumble style. Christian Pulisic, generally his existence as a U.S. men's national team player is him getting kicked down by opposition.
Yeah.
It'll be even more in this match against Paraguay. They're all right at the dark arts, and they are a tough team to play against. This is a good soccer team.
And looking at their history, in 2002, they only won one group stage game, but they tied South Africa. They lost 3-1 to Spain. And then the round of 16, they gave Germany everything they had. 1-0 loss.
Yes.
They almost, the group stage in 2006, they lost by a combined 2-0 to England and Sweden. And then they beat Trinidad and Tobago. They didn't make it out of the group there.
Yep.
Group F in 2010, this was their quarterfinal run.
Yep.
They beat Japan on penalties and then took Spain to 1-0 in Johannesburg in the quarterfinal. They lost 1-0 to Spain.
To the eventual winner.
Winner. Yeah, in 2010. Yeah. That's where I was going to go. That is insane. So, and by the way, in their group stage that year, drew Italy, beat Slovakia, drew New Zealand. So anytime they're in this tournament, they're a tough out.
They are.
They're a tough out. It's not going to be easy. I'm with you. That is a team that knows when they get here how to play in this position, and it's going to be fun to see. And I believe looks like they've played the United States once in 1930.
Mm-hmm. So the first World Cup, the very first one.
Ever World Cup.
Yep.
The United States beat Paraguay 3-0. That is the last time, according to the World Cup's website, that looking at all the past ones that I have in front of me now, I have Paraguay's basically history up. It shows all like their group stage history and when they were in it.
Yep.
And it's, the last time, 1930, 3-0 loss to the United States in Group 4.
Yeah, so the very, very first World Cup that only had 13 teams in it, by the way. and that's also, most people, even soccer people, don't necessarily realize this. The longest U.S. run in a World Cup, the farthest they've ever gone, is actually in that first tournament.
Yeah.
In 1930, the United States was a semifinalist in that tournament.
When they didn't have any competition.
Yeah, right, because a lot of the best European teams didn't come over because it was in Uruguay, and you had to get there by boat, which was like a month-long journey at that point. We didn't exactly have the commercial airliners or all that.
Can't just hop on the private jet.
100 years ago, so yes, the actual best finish for the United States was in 1930. And the one everybody remembers after that, of course, is 2002 when they went to the quarterfinals. You mentioned Germany, who beat Paraguay in the round of 16. Germany also beat the United States in that quarterfinal.
That's right.
I wish VAR existed back then because it at least would have gone to extra time.
Yeah. Well, and I remember that's a lot of people. I mean, that was the closest the U.S. has ever really been to advancing, right? Like to that. I mean, that was one of the best runs they've had. So we'll see if they can replicate something like that. And I mean, it all gets going here on June 11th. I guess we should probably pick our group stage.
Sure.
I'm on the bracket challenge on FIFA, so I got mine kind of like right in front of me.
Yep.
But I mean, I guess we might as well just go through these groups and
see
where we fall on these before we get into some Hearts of Pine talk and give everybody at least something to mull over as we get out. I mean, look, this is it's an expanded tournament. I think there's some groups for me that when I was going through it, I was like, okay, that's a little bit more difficult than I originally had anticipated. But ultimately, there wasn't many groups that I said, this is an easy one.
No.
Which I found myself to be. I thought it would be a few more in the group stage I think would be easy, but I actually found myself debating a few.
Yeah, and as you look down, I mean, every single one does kind of have its challenges. Group A is Mexico as one of the host nations. I think they're probably good money to win that group. I think Czechia probably finishes second. South Korea gets third. South Africa fourth. I think is probably the way that plays out.
Yeah, I have Mexico, Czechia, South Africa, and South Korea.
Okay. Group B, I think Switzerland's the runaway winner there. Probably Bosnia second, Canada third, and Qatar at the bottom.
Yeah, I have Switzerland, Canada, Qatar, and I have Bosnia-Herzegovina as that last group in there.
Okay. C, Brazil is the number one team. I don't know. I mean, they've played well going into the tournament, but going all the way back the beginning of the year, not so well. I'll say Morocco wins the group. Brazil finishes second. Scotland third. Haiti four.
I have Morocco first, Brazil second, Scotland third, Haiti four.
All right. Yeah. Group D, unfortunately, U.S. second to Turkey. Paraguay third, Australia fourth.
Yeah, I have Turkey one, USA two, Paraguay 3, and Australia 4.
Germany will get through the group stage this time. They'll win Group E. I like Ivory Coast to finish second, Ecuador 3rd, Curaçao 4th.
Where are we with Curaçao? I have Curaçao 4th, too. I have Germany, Ecuador, Ivory Coast.
Okay,
I think
so
that
we flipped them. Yeah.
Yeah, I know we have an Ecuador fan out there who's like high on them, but I think second's the highest they finish. I think Germany, because you have Germany winning the group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Ivory Coast is going to be good, but I'm with him. I like Ecuador. I can't see them winning.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect all three of them will get through. Top eight third place teams also will get through. By the way, so it's top two of each group, and then the best eight third place teams. Group F is probably the one I'd consider the group of death, with the top four team gathering here. I still say the Netherlands wins the group. I think Japan finishes second. I'm going to go a surprise. Tunisia third and Sweden fourth.
Man. Tunisia. Sorry, I just lost my bracket challenge in front of me. Let me get it back. Got to pull it back up in front of me. What group are we in again?
F.
Group F. For Group F, yeah, I'm going Netherlands. I'm going Tunisia second.
Oh, wow.
Japan third, and Sweden last.
All right, so we both kind of don't think the Swedes are going to do
no,
very well.
And I mean, I don't know. I've never really been that high on them, to be fair.
No. They kind of snuck into this World Cup in a way.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Group G, Belgium, Egypt, Iran, and New Zealand. I think it's probably going to go in that order pretty much. Belgium 1, Egypt 2, yeah. Iran 3, New Zealand 4.
Yeah, me too. There's really, it's tough to see that going any other way.
Yep. Spain will win Group H, probably going away because I think they're far and away the best team in the group.
Yeah, that's one of the groups that's like...
After that, who the hell knows? I'm actually going to say Cape Verde finishes second, Uruguay third, Saudi Arabia at the bottom.
I'm going, I pulled one out of the hat for this one. I'm going Saudi Arabia to finish second in this group behind Spain with Cape Verde third and Uruguay to crash out of this World Cup.
Yeah, that would be quite something, wouldn't it? Group I, this is another possible group of death, although Iraq is not as good as the other three. I will go France 1, Norway 2, Senegal 3, Iraq 4.
Yeah, I have the same.
Okay. Group J, Argentina, I say, wins the group. Austria second, Algeria third, and Jordan fourth.
I have Algeria. Oh, you have Algeria second?
No, I've got Austria second.
I see. That's the only one I flip. Okay. I have Algeria second, Austria finishing third in that group.
Group K, which is an interesting one as well. Portugal, the number one seed there. I will say Colombia wins that group, though. Portugal second. Democratic Republic of Congo third and Uzbekistan fourth.
I'm going Portugal to win the group, and I'm actually going the Congo to finish second.
I love that.
Colombia third and Uzbekistan as well in the fourth spot.
All right, and the last group is Group L, which is another pretty compelling one. I will go England wins. I'll go Panama number two. I'll go Ghana three and Croatia to crash out.
Yeah, I actually have England, Panama, Croatia, Ghana.
Okay.
I mean, I think Panama is going to do really well in that group. I don't know why, but I think there's just a lot more pressure on some of those other teams than them, and I think they're going to kind of just flow in here. They're a little bit of more, like, they're not the home nation, but they're in their home region where they basically play a lot of their games. I mean, they get tons of crowds in the U.S., so I think they're going to have a really, really good opportunity here to get, like, at least – I don't want to say go totally far, but go far enough. And in terms of third place teams for me, because you go 1 through 8, there's 8 of the teams. I don't really know. It kind of sucks because it's tough to really put what order I'd say each group. Because you'd have to go through each group.
Yeah, because then you'd have to go through everything kind of with a fine tooth comb.
Well, right. You got to look it out. But I mean, I guess just looking at it like at face value, because I have mine right in front of me, I don't know. We'll go Paraguay up there as well because I guess they can get a ton of points in that group.
Oh yeah.
So I'll put them up there. I'll throw we'll throw Japan in there. We'll throw Ivory Coast, Croatia, Colombia, Austria. Let's throw Cape Verde. And who do I want to be the last one? We'll give it to Scotland. Just give Scotland
all right,
a tip
there
through
you
and
go.
Let's just see. And we won't have to pick these, but
yeah.
With my bracket right now, for those of you wondering if we get through to a round of 32, my bracket plays out with Germany and Paraguay, France, Japan, Czechia, Canada, Netherlands, Brazil. Holy crap.
Yeah.
This is a fun one. The Democratic Republic of Congo and Panama.
Ooh, that would be a little bit of a spicy one.
Unfortunately,
sure.
The winner's probably going to have to see Spain or Algeria.
Spain. Be the end of the road.
And then it's Turkey versus Ivory Coast, Belgium versus Cape Verde, Morocco and Tunisia in the first game in the round of 32 in Houston.
Giant rivals,
Oh, I know. Isn't that I saw that. Like, wow, how did I get that? Ecuador versus Norway, also in that same bracket. Mexico, Scotland.
Oh, that'd be spicy.
England, Colombia. Argentina versus Saudi Arabia, a rematch of the group stage game from Qatar where Saudi Arabia beat them.
That's right.
That would be wild. And by the way, this is where my USA comes in. They would get Egypt.
Yep.
On that Friday. But we'd be in the bracket with Argentina and Saudi Arabia, assuming that would be because Saudi Arabia's beaten them.
Saudi Arabia has beaten them, and they came up with a game plan in that World Cup. You could tell they'd been prepping for 6 months
right
to play Argentina, And I think they figured if they could beat Argentina, they'd figure it out from there.
Yeah,
and
right.
They really didn't.
No, sure, but it's like, hey, if they can get their one crack at, they have. Hey, let's just go.
Yeah, right.
You know, let's try it again.
Yeah.
The other final matchups that I have: Switzerland, Austria, Portugal, and Croatia, which is kind of fun, the battle of the old men in that one. Luka Modric,
yes,
and Ronaldo, the former, right?
Yep.
That would be kind of a fun matchup there for that. But
yeah,
that would be right there. A
couple Real Madrid legends.
Right. We'll pick it when we get there, but we at least have our groups on record, and
yes,
we'll see where we go from there. But all that, man, and more getting underway Thursday. I can't wait.
Yeah,
man.
Thursday at 3 o'clock, I have a feeling I'll be pulling up at the zoo to watch Mexico
yeah, right,
and South Africa to get it all going. We need to hit a timeout. We're at halftime in Football Focus. When we come back, we get a little closer to home and talk Portland Hearts of Pine and USL League One. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix, and this is Football Focus brought to you by the Portland Zoo. Football Focus is brought to you by the Portland Zoo, named one of the top 50 soccer bars in America by Men in Blazers. Can't make the Hearts of Pine match on Saturday? Head down to the zoo for the watch party. They're open all day for World Cup action, starting at 3 o'clock with Qatar taking on Switzerland and wrapping up with Haiti versus Scotland at 9 p.m. From the World Cup to Hearts of Pine, catch every match at 41 Fox Street.
They had an awesome boil yesterday too. I stopped by. That was like just amazing, dude. Shrimp and stuff. So it's like, even if you're not going for soccer and you guys want to just kick it on like what's a backyard vibe, man. It's just a great place to go when it's 75 and sunny.
Indeed.
That patio out there, the beers. I mean, even if you're not drinking, they have great seltzers, and it's just you can hang out, and they usually have a great DJ, great food, great vibes. I actually, when I was there yesterday picking up some food and enjoying a pint, there was someone there with their headphones on, like studying.
Yeah.
Like doing legit like schoolwork there on the inside where people normally watch soccer, but no soccer last night.
Right.
They were literally doing schoolwork, and I laughed. I'm like, this is a place for quite literally everybody. So,
yes.
Even if it's not you soccer hooligans out there, there's a place for everybody at the Portland Zoo, and it's definitely a place you got to check out, man. It's a wonderful spot. Now that the sun's out too, it's definitely the place to be.
Definitely the place to be, and it will certainly be the place to be this week with the World Cup starting on Thursday. Well, let's get into the discussion for Portland Hearts of Pine, and unfortunately for them, bad week after their victory against Spokane Velocity on May the 30th. Looked like might springboard them into these two matches on the road, but Portland threw away 3 points at Corpus Christi and then got smoked by Brooklyn FC in USL Cup play. The midweek match, Taylor, I told you this story.
I was about to say you have to tell it, dude. This is great.
Yeah, so of course, I was on vacation at Disney last week. I'm hanging by the pool, watching the end of this match. I saw JT Kamara put in the go-ahead goal in the late 70s minute of the match to go up 2-1, and things are looking pretty good from there. And then Hunter Morse made one of the ugliest errors I think I've seen. I also think it was probably the angriest I've ever been as a Portland Hearts of Pine fan for any single moment so far. Corner kick, right in on Hunter Morse's line. All you need to do, close your hands on the ball, and maybe see this thing out for another three minutes. But unfortunately, through Hunter Morse's hands, into the goal, tie match, and I literally had to do everything in my power to keep from screaming obscenities at this poolside at the Coronado Springs Resort at Disney with kids around and the whole bit. And of course, you know, my wife and my sister-in-law and her husband are all just kind of chatting away while I'm watching this and just trying as hard as I can not to get upset. And then they gave up another goal 3 minutes later and lost the match.
90 plus 7, dude, on another corner kick from the other side.
From the other
side. By the way, the other side this time.
And it's to watch all of that unravel so quickly. I mean, it looked like 3 points in the bag on the road, and instead it's Corpus Christi FC's first USL League One win ever. And they do it in great. I mean, congratulations to them.
Sure.
And by the way, also nice to see Pat Langlois and Jake Keegan both get starts against their former team. Neither one of them factored in the scoring, but nice to see both of them out there again.
Sure.
But still, yeah, that one was tough.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the other positive I will say, because I know there's not many, Breck Evans getting his first goal too.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, JT, that was. That was a cool moment, JT getting that goal, but then Breck also had his one early, and they're up 1-0. I mean, it just all felt like it was going great. And Hunter, to be fair to him, like that's the first big mistake I've ever seen him make.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he
which
does.
Is,
yeah,
I like. I'm with you. It was. Whew, trust me, it was a lot to watch as well on my end. It was not fun to partake in that viewership, but. I'll give him enough slack to say that he's carried our ass a lot.
He has.
So I'll give him, you know, I think he can bounce back. And we did see, you know, as we'll talk about Brooklyn in a second, but obviously Oladapo did start that game on the weekend. I think that was actually a good decision because after a game like that, I think it's not a bad thing to say to a goalkeeper, hey, man, flush it and just relax for the rest of the week, like a normal week, and get back to it on Saturday. I guarantee he's in the net for Chattanooga, and I bet he's going to be the stone wall, the brick wall, I should say, as the jersey is for him that he always is. But I'm with you, Jeff. Like, inexcusable mistake at this level.
Yeah.
That's something you see at the JV or freshman level when you're trying to still teach a goalie how to catch the ball properly with the W formation.
Yeah.
And to see that go through his hands in a moment like that when Portland had just gotten what felt like a momentous win on Saturday, and then to see it literally – no pun intended, slip through your hands like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really tough to watch. So, I mean, hey, I'm glad the kids didn't have to hear the obscenities, but it would have been completely within reason, Jeff, if you had lit that one off after that. Because I think there was a lot of people at the Portland Zoo or whatever watch party you were at that was very unhappy with the way that ended.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they go from here. Where, you know, in terms of closing it, because then you go to the weekend.
Right.
And it's not like it got better. And before we even get into the match, what the hell was going on with the pitch there? That was like, I don't know if it was an optical illusion, but like it looked very thin.
Yeah. And what's amazing about, because, you know, people have been, you know, they talk all the time at Fitzpatrick Stadium that it's narrow.
Right.
It's too narrow.
What was that?
But that was even narrower, number one, and it was shorter.
Yes.
I mean, it seemed like the 18-yard boxes were like maybe 10 yards closer on each side to midfield, and they have to shoehorn this into a minor league baseball stadium there in Brooklyn. So, all right, you deal with the space you're with, but my God. I mean, and you could...
How are they a championship team playing on that?
I wondered that myself.
How are we not allowed to play in the championship, but they are with a crappy-ass field like that?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it was a grass field too, but to me it looked like the grass wasn't mowed enough.
No, I'm
with
you.
Like the ball was holding up too much.
Yeah, I thought it was a really bad experience.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make this big of an excuse for them because I know some people are going to hear this and say, Taylor, stop that. I'm not trying to make that, but I thought directly played into the favor of Brooklyn. If you have, you know, a field that has those kind of dimensions that you're not ready to play in, that matters. And the dimensions of that field were absurd. So I thought that might have played a role in their poor, what I thought was a really poor defensive effort. The first goal they gave up on the header, I don't know what Kamali Green and Breck, they were out to lunch.
Yeah. I mean,
they just let him go right in between them. I watched it back multiple times. I'm like, does no one, what happened there? Like, both center backs are just out to lunch completely. So, again, I'm not trying to make an excuse.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I can't help but feel it kind of was a factor in their bad play.
I absolutely think it did. And the second goal, for instance, like, Mateo Kidd was way too deep. And
yeah,
I think
was.
Part of the reason he was because he didn't realize where he was on the pitch.
No, I'm with
you. That's literally why I think he missed the assignment.
He starts rotating, and I noticed the same thing, and he looks back, and he realizes he's kind of like, how is there a guy right there, and where he is positioned is basically right at the penalty line.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. It was like, yeah, I thought Mateo Kidd lost his man on that, but I'm with you. How much of that played into spatial awareness?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, no excuse because there was the third goal. They left the guy freaking wide open in the middle of the pitch. That's just no one wanted to step up. So, like, I thought, and that's one thing. As many goals as they were given up, I didn't think Oladapo at all played a bad game.
No, I thought he got left
out too dry. The header, like Mateo Kidd, like all the opportunities, these goals came from basically open run. And the one that really pissed me off the most, man, like Espinoza.
Yeah.
And you see Oladapo at the end of it, look at him. He's like, where were you? And he's like, he basically says to him, I was up. And you see Oladapo go, no, no, no. Your responsibility is as a defender. And when we're down that bad, why are you getting caught that high? And you watch that back post pass, Espinoza's just way behind the play.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, sorry. And Oladapo's like, dude, you have to recover if you're going to go up there. And you watch him. He's trying to get back, but he clearly doesn't have the speed. So if you know you don't have the speed to recover, you can't make that much of an offensive jump. And Oladapo, I loved it because watching it back as a goalkeeper myself, like I love that because I know he knew when he goes, when that ball's going across the back post, if I'm a goalkeeper, that's a goal kick.
Mm-hmm.
If my defense is doing their job and shielding.
Yep.
He wasn't even there. Nope. He's all the way back at the top of the 18, and you see Oladapo like, dude, where are you? Like, how are you not back in time? If you're going to go commit offensively, you have to be willing to commit that much back defensively, and I don't think at any point in that game to honestly hold them accountable, any of them defensively played a game that was desirable for any of us as fans.
No.
I thought the defense was absolutely horrendous at the end and throughout that game. And again, dimensions aside, right? Like it didn't feel like they gave enough of an effort.
No.
On Sunday, man. And they got a challenge against Chattanooga too, so they have to play a lot better.
Yeah, they do. And of course they were playing in the USL the Prinks Tires USL Cup.
That's right.
They are playing a USL championship side there in Brooklyn FC, so more talent, etc. So that is one other reason why this happened, and Portland has not done well in this competition against USL championship opponents away from home.
Yeah.
They've gotten smacked around every single time. So that's kind of par for the course here, but still disappointing. And I also feel like the team kind of let down a little bit once the fourth goal went in.
Yes.
And unfortunately, now JT Kamara also picked up a red card in that match.
Yeah.
Won't affect anything for Chattanooga this Saturday, but he won't be able to play against New York Cosmos in the last USL Cup match in July.
I will say I didn't really like his performance Sunday.
Nope.
I thought he had really done well back-to-back games, right? Two game winners essentially.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was, okay, hey, and remember I asked Bobby, how are you going to utilize him moving forward with these injuries? Like, do we expect more of him? Remember what he said? He goes, we got something for him. And he, in the two games after we asked him, responds with big goals and, like, that performance. So, for instance, one of the final goals, the fourth goal on the corner kick, if you watch that play out, he dribbles way too much and it leads to that turnover. Instead of just being, you know, no play with it, one touch out, and just get direct play going and out of the box. He takes 2-3 touches. It ends up getting taken off his foot a little bit. They call it a corner kick. It's the fourth goal that goes into that. And then it's a couple minutes later, he gets that red card. Now, I have watched it like a nauseating amount of times, too many times. I'll say this. That is not a straight red card, and that official is an absolute moron for giving that a straight red because it's very obviously embellishment from the player who does it.
Mm-hmm.
Does JT kick him and it is unacceptable? Absolutely. Shouldn't have put that motion in. But a straight red card? Does he do it in frustration? Yes. But a straight red card for that? Like, I watched it back multiple times and I didn't see him, like, extend straight out his leg. If you watch his leg, he kind of kicks out, but if you look at his knee, Jeff, there's not a full extension.
Mm-hmm.
So how is how is it that malicious intent if he's not outright going, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was obvious frustration. So to me, I didn't agree with the straight red. And people can tell me I'm wrong about that. I understand the rules. I know the USL would tell me I'm wrong, and I'm fine with that.
Sure.
But as someone who, like, kind of coming up from a coach perspective, I bet if we asked Bobby about that, he'd say no comment. Because if I'm a manager in that situation, that is a ridiculous red card to give to my player. Was he frustrated? Was it stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it a straight red to put us man down when we're already getting our asses handed to us? That's a little bit of a rash decision, I thought, by the official.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not okaying JT's at all, but I just, that's a yellow card to me.
Anytime you basically expose the studs on a challenge has happened there, like you run the risk.
I agree with that.
It did not seem to me to be quite straight red. Like, if there was such a thing as an orange card, that's what it would be.
I like that. Well, no, and like I said, if there's a straight extension to me, I have no problem with that red card.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not condoning any of what he did. It's some sort of card.
Yes.
But I just thought the way he went right to the red, I was like, oh, for goodness sake, like maybe I missed it. Maybe him and JT was more during that that I missed that. The referee was on the pitch that's listening.
Yeah.
Heard, but I thought it was just a little rash. But again, You can't be that stupid.
No.
You know, and JT's a smart, smart human being. He knows better than that, and he has to try to keep his emotions under control. Because, again, as you point out, Jeff, when you go studs up like that, because it's all opinionated, whether we view it as malicious intent or not, the official, it's at his discretion, and he viewed it that way, and it put us in a worse situation than we were in.
Certainly did. Next up again for Hearts, Chattanooga Red Wolves rematch of that quarterfinal game down in Chattanooga that Portland won. First time they'll be getting together since then. It'll be 6:30 at Fitzpatrick Stadium this Saturday. Elsewhere around the league, USL Cup action. The Tampa Bay Rowdies and the Colorado Springs Switchbacks have already clinched spots in the knockout phase. They've already secured their wins. There are a few other fixtures to go in round three. Corpus Christi is playing their round three match tonight. Just looking around the groups, again, those two that we mentioned already through, Sacramento Republic leading their group over Spokane Velocity, San Antonio FC up in group three, although Corpus Christi is in striking distance if they're able to get a result tonight. Louisville City is tied atop group four with Union Omaha.
Yeah,
who's doing pretty
points.
Good there. Portland's group is now led by Hartford Athletic with 7 points, Brooklyn FC with 6, Rhode Island with 5, Portland with 4. Group 6 leader is Charleston Battery right now over Charlotte Independence. And group 7, as we already mentioned, Tampa Bay Rowdies have already clinched that group.
Yeah, and the other two games as well going on. Obviously, you mentioned Corpus Christi tonight, and then tomorrow it's the Greenville Triumph against Loudoun, and one Knoxville and Chattanooga, and obviously Chattanooga playing Portland on the weekend, so a midweek match against one Knox at Covenant Health Park there this Wednesday, June 10th, and then they have to come to Portland, so a tough week for the Red Wolves, who get going in week 15 play is what it kicks off for USL. They also get back to play Wednesday. Some matches to watch: Charlotte Independence versus Union Omaha.
Good one.
Athletic Club Boise is also hosting Richmond Kickers on Golazo, which is a fun one. And after Sarasota just beat Naples in that cup play, they're playing AV Alta, who also had a big win. So two teams coming off big cup plays, going head-to-head in league play. Obviously, Portland Saturday night, 6:30, Fort Fitzy. Don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Big week, week 15, Jeff.
Yes, big week. And that's all for Football Focus this week. In the first week of the 2026 World Cup, we'll be right back to finish it strong with Mannix versus Mannix, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook next.